It is cold in here, isn't it? It's freezing in here. Is there any way we can turn up the heat? My God, I need my gloves. I guess, I don't know. Whatever. It's not me. It's freezing. Okay, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the special meeting of the Board of Directors. I'd like to, as our first order of business, ask for an approval of the agenda. So I'd like to move the agenda. Is there a second? Is there any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Before I turn the floor over to Mr. Wiedefeld, I'd like to provide some context for today's meeting and discussion. In April, the general manager presented his plan for, quote, keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable, a long-term plan to ensure Metro's operational and financial stability. Today's meeting represents the start of the board's discussions on the plan. Over the course of the next several months, we'll have more detailed work sessions on specific aspects of the plan. I'd like to thank board member Christian Dorsey, who is on the phone. Christian, are you on the phone? No? All right. Well, I'd like to thank him, even though he's not on the phone, but when he is on the phone, for his hard work on this, and our other board member, Keturah Hartley. Keturah, are you on the phone?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Keturah's here. Very good. Christian, are you here?
He was there. Right. I think he may have to call back in, but he was there.
All right. Very good. Christian spearheaded the drafting of the sense of the board, and I wanted to let him know that we appreciate his efforts and all those of other board members. I know Michael was involved, and Carol was involved in putting together the document that we have before us today. So with that, I would like to recognize our general manager, Paul Wiedefeld, for his presentation. Paul?
Good afternoon. I just wanted to make some comments just to open it up and obviously take any questions you might have. But just looking back over the last 18 months, you know, what we've been doing, what we've been trying to do, I think is important to put in context. You know, as you know, my priorities have been on safety, service reliability, and fiscal management. So on the safety side, as we just discussed, SafeTrack was a big part of that. And as we're pulling out of that, we are starting to focus on what we're calling back to good. I'll get into that in a minute. We've also been focusing clearly on service reliability, and obviously the 7000 series is a good example of that and what we've done, and we'll be operating that service on the Silver Line later this month, for example. And on fiscal management, both accountability across the board, cost recovery and cost reductions we focused on, and capital delivery. And so we've been moving in that direction in all three of those fronts, and we'll continue to do that. We are now focusing much more on the back to good, the customer side of it, and also the revenue side of it, because we want to maximize that as well, and we do that by better customer service. So we are focusing on that, and we gave you some stats, and we just printed out some our quarterly or monthly report just yesterday on that. But as this board knows, the fiscal year 18 budget was extremely difficult to get through, very tough decisions. But I think there was also a recognition that we had not solved core issues, that we would be revisiting a lot of the same issues we had to deal with in 18 in the 19 budget. So based upon that and my feeling that we had gotten a number of these other things moving in the right direction, I did focus on, all right, the longer term, what are our challenges facing us on the capital and operating side looking out 10 years? And so that is what I proposed in what I produced on April 19th. Just to summarize on the challenges, you know, to me on the capital side, it's a two-edged sword. One is we are still dealing with deferred maintenance for years and not recognizing that and dealing with that. We do that in the construct of a two-track system and all the issues that raises for our customers. But we're also, particularly as we continue to look into the future, the aging of the system, the aging out of the system. So now we're talking, you know, we will now be a 50-year-old system. So what is it, you know, what are the challenges that we're facing as we do that? And if we don't deal with those issues head on, we know where we will be. We will be further along what we dealt with for the last few years, which is unreliable service, which then drives loss of ridership, which then drives loss of revenue, which then puts at risk the $40 billion investment that we've made into this system, and at the end of the day is going to impact the regional economy because we are so key to it. So just from a capital, just the capital investment strategy, as any business would do, you have to protect that capital investment, particularly if it's core to what you do, which is what ours does. So that's what that's, you know, that's just to me, that's just reality in front of us. On the operating side, again, the realities are that the operating costs are double what our revenues are. And that continues, and as we look into the future, that slope gets greater and greater. Part of it is obviously loss of ridership, and so we got to bring that back, but we have to put that in a sense of scale. From 2000 to 2010, we were growing roughly 3% per year. And since that time, we've been dropping, you know, about 3.5. Okay, so even if we get all that back, if we get a 3% growth per year, that's about $20 million a year. That's all that is. At the same time, costs are increasing at a greater rate. So those are just fundamentals that are facing us. So what that leads us to, if we can't get that under control in some fashion, where do we go? We go to fares. We go to more management reductions, but we go to fares. We go to service reductions, where we go to additional subsidies so we don't have to do fare increases, so that we don't have to do cuts in service. But what I've learned over the last 18 months is that is not a very viable option either, because they're under a lot of pressure as well on the jurisdictional side to give dollars. So that's sort of the background of my thinking that sort of led me to get to some of the things that I proposed. So in the plan on the capital side, I am recommending that we cap local jurisdiction capital investments at the current rate with a 3% growth, in effect, just to keep up with inflation. What I've heard from the local governments is they want certainty. They need certainty in their budgeting process because, A, they don't have the dollars, and they need certainty so that they can start to plan for that. So that's the rationale behind the 3%, to give both certainty and also to recognize that inflation will occur. But you can't do that and not address our big needs. So we've identified through the CNI process $25 billion worth of needs. We've ratcheted down to roughly $15 billion that we think is both realistic of what we could deliver physically in terms of manpower, and then also the impact it would have on customers, particularly on the rail side, because to do a lot of the capital things that we just talked about, Mr. Goldman just talked about, the impact that then has on weekend service. You know, so how do we do that? We have those needs. The CNI is not, and what I'm proposing is not a 10-year capital budget by any means. The budgeting process will go on, as it should, and we should refine projects and define them. But the sense of scale is there, and I don't think anyone can argue very long about that. We can literally walk you through: cars wear out, buses wear out, chillers wear out, pumping stations wear out. And as we look out and we're 50 years old, that's what's happening. And we can document that, and we will. We have to the board. But it supports that scale of investment. The other suggestion that we've made is that we have a dedicated source to do this. Again, to give local governments the understanding of that, and then we can bond for the future. Because these things aren't all smooth. They're lumpy projects sometimes. You need big investment, you know, at some time. Some of these last for decades, so it makes sense to do it from that perspective. And then I've also suggested that we restrict that dedicated funding source just to capital projects for fear that with the annual pressures in operating, that dollars will go from that to the operating side. And I think that's a pressure that all of you around this table will have felt and will continue to feel. So that's the logic behind that. And then clearly the federal government still needs to be a player in this. I believe at a minimum we need to get the PREA another 10 years plus on that, with the 10-year window that I'm talking. And that is just the basic logic of, you know, roughly 40% of the peak traffic is federal employees, that basically we serve the visitors of the nation's capital, and we basically are the emergency access or egress out of the city, and that's what we do. And they have a role to play. I think we share the same feeling on that. The operating side is extremely difficult to deal with, but I think again it's as we think through it and we think into the future, how do we start to deal with this? One of the things that I've suggested is that we cap the operating subsidies at 3% maximum. My logic there is first and foremost that it puts pressure on whoever's in this seat to manage extremely tightly, to constantly be looking for ways to save dollars. So I think that's a self-imposed restriction that I think that is important for, again, whoever is running this place needs to have. I also think it's a restriction and a constraint on requests from local jurisdictions. We cannot just ask for things and not pay for them. So if we want to create a new baseline of what the service is, that's fine. But I think we all have to come to agreement what that is, and not over time just chip away, add a few more here, add a few more there, and think it does not have an impact. It does. So I think it forces that issue as well. In terms of when you look at some of our long-term costs, I mean, we've been talking for, you know, or since I've been here, it's been discussed before, just some of the long-term unfunded costs, whether it's pension or OPEB. So we've addressed the OPEB issue with new employees coming in, and both on the management and labor side. But on the pension side, that is a big portion of what we have to deal with. I do not think it's fair to impact existing employees or retirees, but I think that we have to recognize that we have to do something in the future, and that's why I'm proposing that we take a look at a defined contribution plan for new employees versus a defined benefit plan. In terms of, you know, are we doing the best when we have new facilities? Are there better ways to do it? So what I'm suggesting is that we open for competitive bidding, in effect, any new services that we provide. Let's see what the market shows. We will basically, the goal there is to give best value for our customers and the taxpayers. That's what's behind that. It has nothing to do with anti or pro-labor. It has nothing to do with that. Just, you know, we're using other people's dollars, and we should make sure that we're using those wisely as we can, and everyone should come in and bid for those projects. So that's why that was suggested. In terms of dealing with just the arbitration process, there was an effort in 1995 to provide stronger guidance on what an arbiter can get to when we get to binding arbitration. I think that should be looked at again. I think the concept of tying that to the not only the ability of local jurisdictions to pay, but the willingness, given all the other priorities they have to deal with, and giving some guidance on that. And then finally, I have recommended that we create a contingency fund, a rainy day fund for operating expenses that builds up over the 10-year period. It's, you know, to run a $1.8 billion operating budget with no contingency is just, you know, it's unheard of in any business practice. You need those, and particularly in one that we don't have a whole lot of options. So this weekend, you know, if we get several hundred thousand people here, we just can't say sorry. You know, we're going to try to throw as much service out there as we can, and we have to do that. That's our role. And not even mention snow and things like that. So that's just, to me, just basic business operations sense that we create that over time. So before taking questions, let me just finish up. You know, I am asking for your support in concept of what I've proposed in some fashion. I believe to deal with this, it's going to take the entire region to come together. I mean, what we're talking about is it's transformative in nature. It's large to do. It's not going to be easy by any means. But I think the alternative is pretty clear. We will further decline. We will further chase riders away. But we will further not provide the quality of service that everyone's expecting. And that will impact, I believe, the economic well-being of this region. And that's what we're here to serve as well. So with that, I'd be glad to take any questions you might have.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Wiedefeld, for your presentation. The way we'll handle questions is this. Well, each member who wants to ask a question will have a five-minute round. So you have to ask and answer your questions in 5 minutes. We can have a second round if we deem it necessary. But every member will have a chance, if they choose, to ask a question or two or whatever it is within a five-minute limit. I happen to have a stopwatch here, so I'll be the keeper of the time. So let's start. We'll start over here. But Paul, do you have any questions? Malcolm? Okay, this would be a good time to do that, if you want to do that.
Sure.
Okay. Well, actually, let's do the questions. Yeah, forget that. Yeah, let's do questions. Anybody? Well, let me ask. Does anybody have any questions? Raise your hand. Maybe that's an easier way of doing it. No questions? Okay. Very good. Okay, so back to me again. So thank you. We have a draft statement. Where am I? On my thing? Right here. Yep. All right. We have a draft statement here outlining the board's support for the framework and principles of the Keeping Metro Safe, Reliable, and Affordable plan. Everybody has a draft statement. I will note that since this is a sense of the board, all members can vote. So now I will move approval of the following, and I'm going to read the statement. It's a bit lengthy, but just bear with me. The sense of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Board on keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable. Whereas the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority represents a $40 billion billion asset and enterprise that has generated returns on regional and national investments, resulting in increased mobility, traffic congestion relief, improved air quality, economic development, and increased open space. And whereas WMATA provides over 300 million customer trips annually and operates the nation's second largest heavy rail transit system, sixth largest bus network, and fifth largest paratransit service. Excuse me. Whereas while WMATA estimates it has $25 billion in total unfunded capital needs, the system may require $15.5 billion of this amount over the next 10 years for critical capital projects. And whereas WMATA's operating expenses grow at nearly twice the rate of revenues, and whereas WMATA's funding jurisdictions are unable to maintain an annual cycle of subsidy growth realized with the FY 2018 budget, and whereas WMATA is one of the only transit properties in the United States that is not funded in part by a dedicated source of revenue, and whereas WMATA's customers and employees are vulnerable to a business model that is not sustainable, and whereas General Manager / CEO Paul Wiedefeld has developed Keeping Metro Safe, Reliable, and Affordable, a plan that will restore world-class transit for residents and visitors to the nation's capital. Now, therefore, be it the sense of the board that the WMATA Board of Directors generally endorses the framework and principles in the Keeping Metro Safe, Reliable, and Affordable plan, and that the WMATA Board of Directors supports the authority's efforts to secure funding approaches that preserve Metro's assets and value to the region's transit network while minimizing unpredictable and unsustainable increase in costs, and that the WMATA Board of Directors commits to a safe and reliable transit service that delivers a superior experience for riders, and that the WMATA Board of Directors endorses actions that provide stability for our customers and employees through sustainable funding, and that the WMATA Board of Directors will work with the General Manager / CEO to explore changes to the WMATA business model, which may include a cap on jurisdictional operating and capital subsidies and continued pursuit of aggressive cost containment, and that the WMATA Board of Directors encourages the region's jurisdictions to consider new and stable revenue sources that will capitalize a trust fund for WMATA's capital program. Such sources will require further study and may differ in each of the jurisdictions. And finally, that the WMATA Board of Directors strongly supports and advocates for a reauthorization of Federal Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act, that's the PREA, at least at the current level of $1.5 billion over 10 years, as well as other funding to support WMATA safety and reliability. So I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second?
No, motion's been made. I would like to second it, Mr. Chairman. This is Christian Dorsey.
Okay, Christian, welcome to the conference. The motion's been made and seconded. So I'd like to open the floor to any discussion. So Malcolm?
Thank you, Chair Evans and colleagues. As I've shared with all of you in this conversation, I've really thought long and hard about this from a process standpoint, and I've written down some of my thoughts on it. While I appreciate General Manager Wiedefeld's plan, as it adds another perspective to the many other proposals put forward to address the long-term health of WMATA, I, like all of you, believe in public transportation and the benefits it provides to our regional economy. In any plan, what should be clear is that WMATA must concentrate on providing a safe, reliable, efficient service to its customers / riders that fulfills our need for robust public transportation that regains the trust of the public and brings back riders to facilitate further growth in our region. To achieve this mission, WMATA must recognize and nurture its greatest asset, the employees, who move 300 million people each year. That has to be emphasized. It also requires, and I support, a long-term financial commitment from the funding jurisdictions to meet the needs of this beneficial public investment. In addition to identifying the broad conditions in his plan, which we all can agree on to a certain degree, Mr. Wiedefeld mapped specific actions, some of which I will not support, to achieve the goal of long-term health that deserve consideration but require additional study and consultation. The board should and will participate in this process, but any endorsement prior to our own deliberation, in my opinion, would be premature. And for those reasons, I will not be supporting this.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Augustine. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none. Oh, I'm sorry, did somebody have a discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, Kathy, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand go up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, I know this is very difficult, and I appreciate everyone indulging my participating via phone, and I very much wish I could be with you today. This is Christian Dorsey again, and I would just like to say that I will support the sense of the board, and I'd just like to put this in a context to give a sense of what will happen after this. You know, there is this sense that the endorsement will be an upfront board acquiescence to every detail that may be further developed by the GM in consultation with the board, and I don't view this statement as such. It identifies the outcomes that I think generally the region can have consensus agreement that we all support, and this sense of the board statement specifically deals with outcomes that we desire, and it gives a sense that we are united behind those particular outcomes without in any way obviating the ability and the need for the board to engage with the general manager and staff on specific policy details, some of which may change dramatically from what Mr. Wiedefeld has posited, some of which may be discarded, others may be added in their place. There is still a lot of work that needs to be done, but at some point, this board, in my opinion, needs to get out in front of what outcomes we desire so that we can begin to direct the conversation in the region about what is helpful and what is not. For Metro, for WMATA, for our customers, for our employees, and for the region. So for that, I support the sense of the board and hope that my colleagues can as well.
Thank you. Kathy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to also join in supporting the resolution. And I will emphasize that this the general manager has been throughout our region speaking with all of our jurisdictions about where he wants to be. And I must say he has had a welcoming opportunity to do so, and the jurisdictions have discussed it. And I would go with the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission. He sat before us last week. I think, sure, there was guidance to him, but no one said that his plan is not a good plan. And so as we sit here and watch others around the region think and try and offer their advice, I welcome advice, but it's the general manager that is going to run this agency, and I am willing to support where he is today. I also have very much clarity in my mind that that voice of mine is not closed once I vote yes for this, that I have the opportunity to help shape this decision as it moves forward at every level. So I think this is the message the region needs to hear. The general manager has spoken. If we have something very disconcerting that we have about this plan, then we need to speak up. If we are saying that we have not, I think the resolution meets the effort for me. So okay. With that, I willingly and gladly endorse the resolution. I willingly and diligently will work to see that the plan can move forward to its intent.
Okay, thank you very much. Michael, and then Jim, and Kat. Oh, we have a lot. Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will also be voting in support of this sense of the board statement, and I will be doing so because of what's stated in the very first of the sense of the board paragraph, because I endorse the framework and principles in the keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable plan, and not necessarily in all the specifics and all the details. And I will look forward to having the board begin a more detailed examination of the plan and the specifics, which will begin next month when the general manager will make a presentation to the Finance Committee with his capital improvement program outlined for for the next fiscal year, which will be followed up in September with a presentation on the operating budget for the next fiscal year. And so looking forward to that opportunity to delve into these specifics and get into this in greater detail. I certainly today will vote in favor of this Census Board resolution and endorse the general principles outlined in the general manager's plan.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Mike.
Then Kathy.
No, Jim.
No, Jim. Then Kathy.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Michael. Then Jim.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for bringing this forward. And Paul, thank you for bringing this plan forward. It is something that the region has needed to identify the needs of the system with a framework for how we can achieve accomplishing those needs. But I think, as Kathy had said as well, it is adaptable. This is not an end-all, be-all. There will be many versions of this out there, and I applaud you for being open to suggestions from others that we are going to continue to see. So I will endorse this because I think it's an excellent framework from which to move forward, and is something the region needs desperately.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Kathy?
I want to thank the general manager for bringing this very comprehensive plan to us. And I think that there will probably be, I will agree with my colleagues, a lot of discussion about details in the next few months. But I don't want us to lose sight of the forest for the trees. We really need to support this general direction. I've been on the Metro Board now for 7 years. For 15 years previous to that, I represented the city of Tacoma Park on the Transportation Planning Board. And so for that 20-plus years, I can tell you, lack of available funding for WMATA and the need for a dedicated revenue source has been a topic of conversation. Kathy Hudgens has sat on the Transportation Planning Board for nearly as long as that. The need for a dedicated revenue source for Metro has been a topic of conversation and has been something that we needed. The irony is, of course, that we just finished up a committee discussion of the SafeTrack program, a remedial program that was necessitated because for years and years and years, Metro did not do necessary maintenance work because it didn't have the money to do necessary maintenance work. It wasn't because people were perversely not wanting to do maintenance. It was a lack of funding. Funding is no easier to obtain now than it was then, but we have got to make a commitment to get the funding that we need going forward, or I'm very much afraid that in 20 years we're going to come back and we're going to be at the same place that we just, the same hole that we just dug ourselves out of most recently. So I am very, very firmly behind the rationale behind this resolution.
Further discussion? Okay, seeing none, the sense of the board is before us. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed.
Okay. And you'd like to be recorded as being opposed. Okay, thank you very much. Oh, Keturah, I'm sorry. Keturah?
Yes, I said aye.
Okay, and Christian? He said aye?
Aye.
Okay, very good. Just so our recorder can get it down. Yes. Does somebody have some questions? Oh, okay.
14-1.
Okay, the motion passes 14-1. 13-1. 13-1? Okay, 13-1. Okay, if there's no other business to come before the board at this time, the meeting is adjourned.